So, we're going to continue reading our study in the Psalms. As I said earlier before, just a little detour from Jude. So, we're trying to cover up a little truths here in the first verse of Psalm 14. So, last time I was here, I spoke on the depravity of this fool. We read of this fool and we see a depravity that this guy has. This whole psalm, I would say, upholds this idea of his depravity. And we took an example of Nabal, who rejected or who paid David evil for what David gave to him good. So that's really the depravity of not seeing goodness. Since God is all good, and he spills grace upon everybody. If you are alive, his grace is upon you. And yet, how many people don't see that goodness? And that's one of the underlying effects of depravity. And so today we're going to see the second point is deception. The fool is a deceived fool. The fool has said in his heart. We see deception here, that there is no God. He is a self-deceived fool. I want to read us a quote by a gentleman named Thomas Nagel. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He said, he was fairly this century, "I want atheism to be true and am made uneasy by the fact that some of the most intelligent and well-informed people I know are religious believers. It isn't just that I don't believe in God and naturally hope that I'm right in my beliefs. It's that I hope there is no God. I don't want there to be a God. I don't want the universe to be like that." So we see that this gentleman, Thomas Nagel, he's a philosopher or something along that sort. We see that he knows that God exists. He runs against him, and he has a hope that he's right. Stephen Charnock, one of the Puritans, said, "Men may have atheist hearts without atheistical heads." You can believe all you want that there's no God, but you know that there is a God. And so why has this fool said that there's no God? Why did this guy, Thomas Nagel, say that there's no God? Why do people say that there's no God? Why do they want to convince themselves that there's no God? It's simply because the sinner wants to do what he wants to do. The fool says in his heart that there is no God so that he can do what he wants to do and not what God commands him to do. What he wants to do is to live contrary to what God commands him to do. He could only wish that God would not exist. A fool, an atheist, if you want to say that, would only wish that God would not exist. He still exists. He would say to himself, there is no God, that he does not exist, and that is because he himself is bent on evil. He says that God does not exist because he is a corrupt being. Listen to the rest of this verse. "For the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good." Listen to the flow of this passage. The fool states a claim. The fool says there is no God. And then it's almost as if David takes us behind the scenes of this fool. And he says, they are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. That's where the fountain that it's coming from, this claim, it's coming from the corrupt nature that he has. They are all corrupt. That's why they want to get rid of God. Because they are corrupt, they say there is no God, that they may commit their abominable deeds. So because they're corrupt, they say there's no God, and they say that there is no God, so that their conscience would be calm to commit their abominable deeds. In order for someone to commit abominable deeds and to still know that God exists, to know that God is alive, it removes the whole pleasure of doing abominable deeds. If you're doing evil deeds, if you're doing a crime and you know that there is a God and that you are going to be judged, that just removes the whole fun of it. And so what they want to do is to erase the idea of God, and so that they would have some joy in their displeasure, or their pleasure, I should say. For example, we can see a criminal who goes on through his daily life living as a criminal, and there's a judge right next to him, or a police officer, you could say. Whatever he does, he's always right there next to him. And this police officer is not arresting him right away. He has a little notepad, he's writing it down, all the things that he's done. And so he's trying to run away from him until he realizes that he can't run away from him. And so he starts to tell himself, he's really not there. I imagine him to be there. He's really not there. He's not there. You know, you just keep telling yourself he's not there when he's right there. That's the same idea. People keep convincing themselves that God does not exist when he clearly does. And so what must be done is that the person is to say to himself, there is no God. It's not easy for one to think to himself that there is no God, because the conscience overrules that. And so they say to themselves, there is no God. What evil and corruption that is, that men would reject or suppress the truth that their desires may be met. They would suppress the truth that their desires and evil would come forth, and ultimately suppressing their only chance of salvation. Listen to what Thomas Brooks said. He that does not believe that there is a God is more vile than a demon. To deny there is a God is a sort of atheism that is not to be found in hell. Augustine said of evil, he once said that pure evil makes no sense because evil is a derivative. The concept of pure evil makes no sense because the only way to get a bad thing is to take a good thing and ruin it. So really, evil is a parasite. It does not stand on its own, opposed to good, because God is good. He's always been, and goodness stands. Sin is this bad thing that ruined the good that God created under the disguise of the devil. Sin is this bad thing that ruined everything, this parasite that went into the goodness of God's creation and completely turned everything around. Man is affected. Nature is affected. Weather is affected. Everything is affected. And so back to what David says here about this man. David shows us that the fool is self-deceived. He is playing dumb. That's what self-deception is. You're playing dumb. You refuse to see any evidence. You refuse to see clearly. He is strangulating his conscience. The fool is strangulating his conscience, and in the process, man's judgment gets clouded. His judgment gets clouded between what's right and wrong. For instance, if we look back to Hitler, Hitler and his soldiers were not the only one who were killing off Jews. He was not the only one. The natural citizen was able to kill a Jew too in Germany. So even though Hitler was telling the public that it's completely fine to kill the Jews, still they had to strangulate their own conscience in order to commit that crime, in order to do that. Because God's moral law is upon every heart. Planned Parenthood nowadays, millions of mothers are killing their children. The third time in history that I can tell of where children are being wiped out. The first time, Moses in his day, Jesus, when Herod tried to kill off Jesus, and now today we see children being wiped out off the face of the earth. Planned Parenthood, the millions of mothers who have to strangulate their conscience to live the way that they want to. Now, these are examples of self-deception. You know that this is wrong, and yet still doing it. Deceiving self to get a desire met, which comes from a corrupt nature, to flee from God opposed to Him. So how do we know that Everyone, including atheists, know that there is a God. I haven't mentioned any verses that supports that everyone knows God. If you look at Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 21, this is a very powerful section of verses. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. What a powerful verse. What a to every man in this world, not just to the Jew, but to the Gentile. Everyone knows that there is a God. The truth is being suppressed. It is being held down. God is evident within them because he has done it. His invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen. And so David says they are without excuse. Everyone who says that there is no God is without excuse. Even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God. And what does Paul say? And their foolish hearts was darkened. So from these verses, we can clearly see that all people know God, know that God exists. They know who God is. From his creation, his invisible attributes, his power, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. So they do not submit to God because, not because they lack in some kind of evidence, but because they are corrupt beings. So when we read of the fool that he says in his heart, there is no God, it's a result of his depravity. This is a result of his depravity when he says that there is no God. That just shows what's in his heart. And it's coming up to the surface. There is no God. It's a result of his depravity. His greatest desire is to shut off his conscience of God, that he may continue in his malice. What a terrible position he's in. What a terrible position that the atheist, that the fool is in. Imagine this. He looks around. The fool in this world looks around. He sees God's creation. As we read in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3, I believe, that the seraphims were singing, that the whole earth is filled with his glory. Imagine the fool looks around and he sees God's glory. He sees God's creation. He wants to run away from that. He doesn't want to see anything of God. He closes his eyes and his conscience speak of God. He can't run anywhere from God. Yet the fool still manages to say, there is no God. And that again is not due to insufficient evidence, but it's an insufficient grace. By his grace, by God's grace, we have been saved who are here. By his saving grace is what they need. And saving grace is only found in one place, upon Calvary. And for 2,000 years, Christ's blood has been dripping upon everyone who has come to God. Christ's blood has been dripping upon John Wycliffe, upon Martin Luther, Calvin, Edwards, Spurgeon. And it continues to be dripping upon anyone who sees Christ. But that one day that blood will run dry. One day that blood will run dry. It'll cease to drip. And saving grace will be found nowhere. So we see here that the fool is deceived fool. The fool is deceived. He's self-deceived. He doesn't want to see God. He refuses to see God. God has made it plain to us that he is. So next time we'll see the third point, disorder. That they say there is no God. And because there is a God, there is order. And any idea or system that seeks to rid of God, there is disorder. Thank you very much. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.